O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we've come together to worship you. Draw near to us through your word and assure us of your loving kindness. Curb our wandering thoughts so that with undivided attention we may hear your voice and sing your praise. Open our hearts by your Holy Spirit to the proclamation of your word so that we repent of our sins, trust in Jesus as our Savior, and grow in grace and holiness. Hear us for his sake. Amen. Welcome to all of you to our worship service this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus, our risen And our faithful Savior, we pray the Spirit of our God be poured out upon us as we worship our Savior in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We follow the order of service as you find it printed in your service bulletin this morning. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. And you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we've sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by your Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, to the end that by your grace we may come to everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given His only Son to die for us, and for His sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on His name, He gives the power to become children of God and has promised them His Holy Spirit. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. Amen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God's love was revealed among us in this way. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
Christ suffered for our sins, once for all the righteous, for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Because I live, you will live also.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In him we live and move and have our being.
Come and see what God has done, God's wonderful acts for all people.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.
Because I live, you will live also.
Glory be to God.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. He is a risen, glorious word. Now reconciled is God. My heaven are open. My Jesus did triumph and die, and Satan's arrows broken lie, destroyed hell's fiercest weapon. Oh, hear what cheer Christ victorious, rising glorious, life is giving. He was dead, but now is living.
Let us pray. Lord, because you've promised to give what we ask in the name of your only begotten Son, teach us rightly to pray, and with all your saints, to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Good morning. First of our scriptures is another reading from the Book of Acts, as we have been going through a number of readings this Easter season. This reading takes us to the 17th chapter, an episode from Paul's second mission journey as he was heading southward in Macedonia, and then he found himself in the pagan, unbelieving city of Athens, where he then shared the knowledge of the true and living God and called upon the citizens in Jesus' name in a very artful and tactful way to repent so that they might receive the forgiveness and life everlasting of the Lord. We read in Acts 17, 22 to 31. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he's not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he's appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead." Here ends the first lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia. Our next lesson is drawn from the first epistle of Peter in the first chapter, the third chapter, verses 15 through 21.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed at their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Here ends the second lesson.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
I invite you to stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word for our consideration today is written in John's Gospel in the 21st chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to them, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And then he said to him, "Follow me." So far the text. Your fellow redeemed in Christ, our risen Lord, what are the qualities or the qualifications employers look for their employees? Times have changed greatly, as they say. One thing that hasn't changed is the kind of characteristics that managers and business owners look for in the people that they hire on. If the person who's being interviewed for a job arrives late, or if he shows up wearing filthy clothes with a disheveled look, or if they look disinterested in what the interviewer is talking about, it's a pretty safe bet that that person will not be given a job offer. We might wonder as Christians how in the world it happened that Jesus chose us to be workers for him. What qualifies us to be so? When we think how our God is holy and we are weak, sinful people, by nature wearing filthy rags of our own goodness, prone to get distracted from the task he's assigned to us. Still, Jesus has hired us on to work for him in his kingdom. As we consider the conversation this morning that he had with Peter on the seashore of Lake Galilee, we'll learn how our risen Savior has qualified us and how he now calls us to go to work for him. The time period was sometime during the 40 days after Jesus' resurrection. As the Lord had informed his disciples before entering the Garden of Gethsemane, you remember in the Passion history, "You're all going to fall away. It's written, 'I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered, but after I have risen, I'm going to go ahead of you to Galilee.'" And so now we see how he kept his word and met up with them in Galilee by the sea. And after fixing a breakfast of baked fish and bread over a fire of burning coals, he directed his attention particularly to Peter. He's the one, as you know, whom Jesus had called from his fishing nets on that same lake about 3 years earlier to be a disciple. And at that time had given the name Petros, Peter, which means rock. Peter was the one who ended up denying Jesus in the high priest's courtyard, did all he could in his cowardice to distance himself from Jesus. This after he had pronounced himself incapable of denying his Lord, boasting that if everybody else would tuck tail and run, I, Peter the Rock, never will. But Jesus, knowing that Peter had shed bitter tears of repentance over his shameful denial, it actually appeared to him before this in a private way on Easter Sunday to assure him of his forgiveness, and now in the front of a group of disciples publicly assures him that he's forgiven and now calls him to go to work for him as an ambassador of his life-giving word. And it's worth noting, friends, and it's very instructive, the manner in which Jesus called and restored Peter. Three times Peter had denied the Lord. Now the Lord affords him an opportunity three times to affirm his love for the Lord. He asked Peter, first of all, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Notice how he calls him by his given name, Simon, not Rock. And he uses a very special word for love in the Greek language. In the English language, the word love can be applied to a variety of situations, feelings you have for your spouse, for your parents, for your siblings, for a cup of coffee. I really love coffee. The Greek language, on the other hand, there are specific words for each type of love, depending on the situation. There is, for example, philia, which is the fondness that a person may have for a friend. There is eros, which is the romantic love that sweethearts share. And then there is agape, the unconditional, enduring, unfading love that a person has for another that does not depend on the lovability and the deservingness of the person being loved. Truly is, as we'll sing in the post-sermon hymn, a love divine, all loves excelling, that has its origin in God. It's found in the John 3:16 passage. God so agape loved the world that he gave his only son. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love, agape, for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John wrote in his first letter, chapter 4, "Dear friends, let us love one another. For love, agape, comes from God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is agape." He is love. And now that's the word that Jesus used when he asked Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" And notice how Peter, when he answers the question, does not do it in a cocky way, like when he promised, "I'll never deny Jesus," but simply refers to Jesus' omniscience. "You know, Lord, that I love you." And realizing there were limitations to his love, how imperfect it oftentimes is, did not use the same word that Jesus used. He said, "You know that I phileo you. I love you with a friendship love, Lord. You know that." Jesus asked him the second time, using the same word agape, "Do you love me more than these?" Peter answered again using phileo, "You know, Lord, I love you as a friend." And the third time Jesus posed the question, "Peter, do you love me?" He now uses the word for friendship love. And that is why Peter was so grief-stricken, not just because it was the third time reminded of him of his triple denial, but it was like Jesus was questioning Peter's love for the Lord. But, of course, Jesus knew what was in Peter's heart, knew he was repentant, and he was not questioning Peter's love. He was giving him an opportunity to show that he'd learned a lesson in humility, and wanting to comfort him by calling him now to go to work for him and to share the message of his agape love with others. You and I may derive great comfort and encouragement from this exchange that Peter had with Jesus on the lake shore that day. Aren't we also prone to think more of ourselves than we should and to rely on our own puny strength? And we must confess our weakness and our vulnerability when confronted by the temptation traps that the world and Satan put down in front of us. What does the Lord do? Doesn't write us off. Doesn't say, no way these people can go to work for me, but deals with us patiently, tenderly, removing our sins from us as far as east is from west, and leading us to find great comfort in his unwavering, unconditional, perfect agape love. And in this way prepares us for the work he's given us to serve as his gospel ambassadors. Let's also now note the specific way that Jesus describes the work that he gives to us, our job description, so to speak. He calls on us, as he called Peter, to feed my lambs and to tend his sheep. Peter's vocation in life, as noted, was a fisher of fish previously. Now, he shifts Peter's focus away from that line of work to a far more blessed work of being a fisher of souls. And as far as having necessary qualifications, Peter was tempted to dwell on his past failures, to think, I can't work for the Lord, I don't have what it takes. Jesus assured him by his resurrection, as positive proof his sins were paid for and that he could now go forward with great confidence in the work to which the Lord had called him. Jesus provides us with the same assurance, friends, in our work as the Lord's ambassadors. He uses his word to shift our focus away from earthly things, prioritizing earthly things to rather the things above, and leading us to live for the Savior who redeemed us and calling us, who called us to share the good news with others of his redeeming love, of his agape life, love for both his lambs and for his sheep. And speaking of that, on this Mother's Day, may you mothers be reminded of the wonderful privilege the Savior has given you to raise up his lambs for him. And let us praise the Lord for the special women who gave us birth, whom the Lord used to train us up in the way that we should go, who prayed for our welfare, especially our spiritual well-being, who served as Moses' mothers to us. What's a Moses mother? A Moses mother is a mother who does for her kids what Moses' mom, Jochebed, did for Moses as he grew up in the land of Egypt. She showed her love for Moses by, as you know, hiding him in that basket on the river so that he would be rescued from the murderous clutches of Pharaoh. And after Moses was drawn out of the water of the Nile by Pharaoh's daughter, and Jochebed was then chosen to be Moses' nanny and to nurse him, she hid him in the quiet of her devoutly religious, God-fearing home. She shielded Moses from the godless influences of the pagan Egyptian culture by teaching him about the Lord. And in that hiding, when the time came for Moses to venture out into the world on his own, he was kept safe by the Lord in the power of his Holy Spirit-given faith. We read in Hebrews these words concerning Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose instead to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible, his Lord and Savior. So yeah, let's praise the Lord for such Moses mothers who raised us to live for him and to work for him in his kingdom, whatever the earthly vocation in life we end up having, pastor or in the secular field. Which underscores the last thought of our sermon today, the importance of another wonderful thing that the risen Savior did for Simon Peter and that he does for us. He leads us to rely on his strength. It was a short time before these events happened that Peter had drawn his sword in Gethsemane's garden, thinking he needed in his strength to defend Jesus. But by the series of questions Jesus asked him that day, he also shifted Peter's reliance away from himself to Christ. He showed Peter, you need to rely on me for strength, especially because rough times are lying ahead for you. He predicted that Peter was going to suffer martyrdom. And according to church tradition, it was about 30 years after the talk Peter had with Jesus that day that he was put to death at Rome for his unswerving loyalty to Christ. That's why he told him that day on the shore, follow me in faith. Stick close to me and I'll give you the strength that you need. If you read the two letters that bear Peter's name in the New Testament, you'll see how the Lord of faithfulness made good on his word. Just one quote from Peter's first epistle, beautiful gospel words that he wrote. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, when he comes back on the last day. So yeah, he didn't waver in his love for the Lord. He was still the same Peter, flawed, weak in his own ability, imperfect, but Christ empowered him in his ability to look to him for daily forgiveness and to bless him with courage that he needed to serve his Savior even to the end. Jesus has not told us the kind of death that we're going to die. He has told us we can expect our lives as his disciples to be kind of rough in this world, not smooth sailing. We must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Jesus said in the upper room the night before he died, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love, guess which word for love he used there, friendship. If you're a friend of the world, it's going to love you. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. But nonetheless, he encourages us, teaches us, invites us, as he did Peter, to follow him in faith, confident that our lives will be blessed, and finally, ultimate victory. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present or future, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing, writes Paul in his letter, shall be able to separate Christ's people from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, their Lord. He who stands firm to the end will be saved. So, friends, the Lord bless us with good cheer and joy in this promise he's given to us. As we continue our sojourn, as we labor for him in his kingdom, again, whatever earthly vocation the Lord has given to us, as we go about sharing with others, mothers with children, Christians with family, friends, and acquaintances, the priceless blessings of his life-giving word. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, it shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with your free Spirit. Amen.
Let us pray. There are two special petitions we desire to offer today. One, a prayer of the Lord's, for the Lord's blessing upon the continued recuperation of Doug Tiefel, who had a surgical procedure done this past Tuesday, an angioplasty up in Boulder. He's recovering at home. And then also a prayer for Mother's Day. Lord Jesus Christ, Good Shepherd of the sheep of your flock, we commend to your loving care our fellow Christian, Doug Tiefel, as he continues his recovery from his heart procedure. We thank you for blessing the medical care that he received at the hospital and that you've permitted him to return home. We pray that you'd continue to accompany him with your blessing in days ahead and grant his body continued healing according to your will. And gracious Lord, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the care and affection of our mothers. We pray for all mothers today, for expectant mothers, for mothers who grow tired and frazzled with so much to do for their young children, for mothers who are anxious because their children are growing older and moving away, for elderly mothers who feel unwanted and forgotten. Bless them all and remind them of your love and mercy in Christ Jesus. Lead us and our families to love and care for our mothers as we ourselves have been loved and helped by them. Hear us, gracious Father, for Jesus' sake. Amen. O Lord God, our Father, you are our strength and song. You've prepared for us a well of salvation in Jesus Christ, your Son. Through the eternal Spirit, he made himself an offering for the sins of the world. We thank you for your great mercy. We give you our praise for the life of grace and truth that he lived among us. Grant us an ever-increasing faith to believe all that he has taught us and to do all that he has directed us to do. Grant, Heavenly Father, that we may ever exalt and praise your Son, whom you raised from the dead, and lift it up above all power, might, and dominion to your right hand in heaven. In his glorious ascension, give us confidence that we shall likewise rise to glory when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. Lift our eyes heavenward to see, beyond mortal sight, our Savior who always lives to make intercession for us. Grant to your people hope and confidence in the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. Give strength and boldness to us who are baptized with the Holy Spirit to witness to the saving grace of Jesus at home and abroad to all those who are in need of his life and light. Prosper the kingdom of our Lord Jesus in every nation, turning the hearts of people everywhere from sin, pride, and unbelief to your great grace by faith in him. Be the protector and guide of our nation in righteousness and peace. Let our rulers be guided according to your will for the great blessing of our country. Give to all our schools a spirit of wisdom that is in accordance with your word. Bless all institutions of mercy and uphold and further all good works. Deliver us from those who would do violence to the innocent and spare us from greed, rebellion, and lawlessness. We pray for your mercy on all who are in any way afflicted. We ask especially for your gracious help for the sick. Give them confidence that whatever they ask in accordance with your will, you will surely provide. And now, dear Lord, since this same Jesus who was taken into heaven will come again in the same way that he ascended, let our hearts rise heavenward in childlike trust, gratitude, and love. Help us always to look for his reappearing again to receive us to himself so that we are well prepared in repentant watchfulness and prayer for his return. In the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, we offer these petitions. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.